Let's talk to Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Mike, does that mean he's headed back to the 49ers on a new deal?
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but I do know this. The 49ers, the longer this goes on, apparently realizing if all these other teams are willing to pay this guy more than we've been willing to offer, maybe we're the ones who are wrong about Brandon Ayuk, and maybe we're the ones who should dig deep and get this taken care of. And it's felt like for the past 5 or 6 days, it was either trade him to the Steelers or wake up out of this fever dream and pay the guy, even though they didn't want to. And we're just waiting at this point.
I would like, Mike, them to at least have like a little chimney that emits red smoke if he's staying with the Niners, or gold smoke if he's going to the Steelers. We could add like another element to this whole thing. Do you actually believe that him staying with the Niners and them deciding to give him a contract is the better move? Like, if you were going to put on your GM's hat, you would say that makes more sense than trading him?
Well, it makes more sense when you look at the bigger picture here. How are you going to fill his void? How are you going to make your team not better, but just as good as it was? You do the deal now, you're getting draft pick offer from the Steelers, presumably, reportedly, based on everything we've seen. You got to turn around and trade for a receiver somewhere else. And who's out there at this point who comes in and makes you better? Who is it that you can plug and play? You got to find somebody that knows your offense. You got to find somebody who can come in and get up to speed. And we got 26 days right now before the regular season opener. I just think that when you consider what the 49ers are trying to do, which is win their sixth Super Bowl, and they haven't won one since the 1994 season, it makes sense to keep Brandon Ayuk.
What will it cost them in the long run, though, Mike? I mean, isn't the whole issue here that they have too many good players and too many good players that want money, including the best offensive tackle in the NFL who has decided to not show up to work for the last 3 weeks?
I think what they really hoped they could do was hold everyone in place for one more year, and they were counting on, foolishly, Brandon Ayuk playing for $14.1 million this year under his fifth-year option. And they've realized, finally, that it's not going to happen. If they want to keep him, they're going to have to pay him. And I think they could find a way to get it done. The question is, what happens next year? And if they pay him now, I think it makes it very likely that when the season ends, Deebo Samuel is not a 49er anymore, whether he's traded or whether he's cut. George Kittle won't be a 49er. I mean, this feels like this is the last go-round for this group, this nucleus that has been a big part of the 49ers the past several years. And I think they'll still be competitive, but the sun is setting on a lot of these big-name players, and I think that's going to be even more clear after this season if they end up paying Brandon Ayuk a year before they wanted to.
Mike, where would that leave the Steelers? If Ayuk indeed does stay with the Niners, then the Steelers are left with either Van Jefferson or try to find somebody else. What kind of realistic prospects would they have of finding a cut player coming up here in a couple of weeks that would be an upgrade at wide receiver too?
Well, you know, what will happen is if you have a team that has an embarrassment of riches at the position, they're going to try to trade the guy that they otherwise would cut. So it could be a trade option emerges between now and when the rosters are slashed down to 53. And, you know, you wait and you see and you hope. And again, for the Steelers, the closer we get to the start of the season, the harder it was going to be to get a Brandon Ayuk up to speed. You know, ideally, you look around for any player out there that has experience with Arthur Smith. That makes the transition easier. You've got to find guys who can come in and play right away. It doesn't matter how good you are in the abstract. It matters how quickly you can get up to speed with this offense and make a difference. And the closer we get to week one, the harder that is to have a guy who hits the ground running and makes a major splash with Pittsburgh offense. Same as with the 49ers if they would move on from Ayuk.
Mike, it's really right now as far as this idea that the 49ers almost have this deal done. It's most of the reporting comes from the NFL's own network, from Mike Garofalo, to be specific. You are very good at critically thinking these NFL stories. What are the odds, in your opinion, that this is just a PR move by the 49ers and they just want the optics of, we did everything that was humanly possible to try to keep this guy, but he just wanted to go to Pittsburgh and we're trying to save face with our fans that we exhausted everything before we had to say goodbye?
I think that when you consider that Garofalo is the one who reported that Ayuk finally asked for a trade, that's probably not what's happening here. Now, we've had some of that stuff. We've had some of the team-generated leaks. The thing about the Browns having a deal in place with the 49ers, and the Browns would have sent receiver Amari Cooper a second-round pick and a fifth-round pick, I believe. That was something that had the 49ers' fingerprints all over it, because how does that help Ayuk to put that out there? I think this one, given that Garofalo reported 4 weeks ago that Ayuk asked for a trade, I have a feeling this isn't just PR. This is an accurate description of where things currently are. And you got to mend some fences to get to this point if you're the 49ers and Ayuk. And it sounds like when they realized what the Steelers were going to pay, you know, somebody finally woke up and said, what the hell are we doing here? Let's work something out and keep this guy.
Mike, rarity for me here. I'm going to go and just ask you about a team that's more near and dear to your heart than most. I guess I want to apologize for what happened, the news on J.J. McCarthy's knee today. Are you, like Pony over across from me here, of the belief that Sam Darnold can now deliver the Minnesota Vikings some solid quarterback play this year?
Yes, and this is the best chance and probably the last chance that Sam Darnold has to prove that he still can be a high-end quarterback in the NFL. He started 57 games, which is amazing. He's only 27. The Jets ruined him. Now, some of it's his fault, but when quarterbacks bust, we blame the guy for all of it, and that's just not fair. It's the guy, it's the team, it's the help around him, it's the coaching staff. There's a lot of fingerprints on a first-round quarterback that busts. And then when he went to Carolina, they were on the front end of their descent into dysfunction. That's not an accurate description either of what he can be. When you look at the presence of Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson, if he's healthy, pretty good offensive line, Aaron Jones at running back, if he still has gas in the tank, and I think he does, and a coach who is a great quarterback whisperer, who knows how to scheme guys open, who turned Josh Dobbs into something quickly, who got 400 passing yards out of Nick Mullins, for crying out loud. I think that people will be pleasantly surprised. And now that McCarthy is just kind of off the table, Darnold can focus fully and completely on the reality that this is his chance, this is his year, and he's never going to get a better shot to turn himself around than this year. It's kind of like what Geno Smith did. You know, he got ruined by the Jets. Plenty of quarterbacks have been ruined by the Jets, and this is Darnold's chance to unruin himself.
Hey, real quick, Mike, because you mentioned Justin Jefferson, what do you think happens, and maybe more importantly, as Pony said, great at analyzing and critically thinking some of these situations, what happens with CeeDee Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase, and why have we heard comparatively nothing about those two guys compared to with what's gone on with Brandon Ayuk?
Well, I think CeeDee Lamb will get a contract and he'll be in the fold, and he's holding out in order to get it. And I think the Cowboys want to milk it for all of the notoriety that comes from the holdout. So you'll get periodic statements from Jerry Jones that are ill-advised, like we have no urgency to do a deal. They have urgency when the season rolls around, and I think they'll finally cry uncle and get a deal done like they did with Ezekiel Elliott when he held out 5 years ago. Ja'Marr Chase is just a weird situation. And I wrote earlier today, he would have held out if he didn't have $3.8 million in a training camp roster bonus that he would have lost if he wasn't there the third day of training camp. He's holding in. The Bengals are cheap. The Bengals are stubborn. The Bengals may be misplaying this. And they're going to get this done in the next week or so, or it's going to blow up and become a completely ugly mess. And they've done their best to hold it together now. But it could get very ugly if the Bengals don't wake up and take care of this soon.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, PFT Live. Mike, thanks for coming on with us. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, guys.